Good evening. How y'all doing tonight? Look at that, evenly spaced. I'm amazed. No favoritism to one side or the other. Great. Well, praise the Lord. Glad you're here tonight. If you joined us on live stream or podcast, thanks for tuning in tonight. And gather around the Word of God. And, you know, we want to hear the word in our heart, not trying to decipher it into our thinking, but just receiving it into our heart. And then it comes alive, becomes revelation, and then it affects our life as we apply those things in our living. Amen? Amen. Go ahead and find your place in Romans chapter 8. We're going to be starting over there tonight. Hallelujah. God is good. He's faithful. Amen. Never changes. Always the same. Never has a bad day. He don't care who's in the White House or who's in the outhouse. He stays the same. Amen. Hi, Pedro. Glad you're there tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, Father, we bless you and we honor you. Give you all the glory, all the praise, all the adoration. You alone, O Lord, are worthy. The glorious King, you're the mighty God. You're the everlasting Lord. O Father, we just adore you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We lift you up, Lord God, in our praises, in our life, Lord, in all that we say and all that we do. We give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. You're the living one, the glorious one, the everlasting one. Feel free to join in. Glory to God, our almighty God, wonderful Savior, Redeemer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's none like you, Lord. You are the living one. You are the risen one. You're the lamb that was slain. You're the lamb that was raised. You paid the price for our sin. You are our substitute for us. Thank you, Lord, that you've freed us. You've delivered us. You've set us free. You have brought to us healing, wholeness, wellness into our life. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought to us abundant living. We give you all the praise, Father. We thank you for your wonderful plan of salvation. Now, Father, as we sit at your feet tonight, we thank you that we can be taught your word by your Holy Spirit, receive impartations of revelation into our heart. And, Father, I just thank you so much that that word comes alive in us and that power of hell is not able to stand against it. Father, that anointing that comes on your word removes burdens, destroys yokes, that we can see clearly, see further, that we can see better and perceive more than we did before. Father, that we press more and more into your unlimitedness. And Father, I thank you that we continue to grow and develop in your divine nature, conforming to the image of Jesus, walking in a manner worthy of you and pleasing you in all respects. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, and let's look in verse 31. The Apostle Paul speaking here by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" You know, what shall we say to these things? You know, we are supposed to speak to things. You know, Jesus spoke to things. He spoke to the fig tree. He spoke to the winds. He spoke to the waves. He spoke to demons, the ones you can't see. He still spoke to them. He spoke to diseased, sick bodies. He spoke to it. Isn't that right? And when he spoke to any of these things, he didn't speak what he saw. He didn't speak what was going on. He spoke the desired results. He spoke what he wanted, how he wanted that situation to turn out. That's what he spoke. Isn't that right? And we are to follow his example, that we're supposed to speak just like that. Instead of speaking the situation and saying what the situation says to us, we should say what we desire as the end result in that situation. Amen. So he says, what then shall we say to these things? So that's the question. What do we say? You know, what do I say to these things? Do I say what I see? Do I say what I feel? Do I say what I hear? Do I say the truth of the word of God, the finished work of Jesus who is our substitute? You know, simple things. It's not big things, it's simple things. If you overlook the simple things, the big thing, then the simple things will become big things. You know, and I think I shared with you last week, we had somebody who used to work in the church years ago. I don't know if you remember, there used to be the little digital camera that we used in the middle, and it was sitting in the middle of the aisle. Everybody had to walk around it and everything. And they would sit at the camera, and they would, record the service. Well, things didn't always go like they should. And he would always say, well, I'm not a techie person. And he always say that, you know, and I would always think, what are you doing working on a techie camera if you're not a techie person? But he volunteered, he wanted to help out, and you know, he did that. And so when things would mess up, you know, we'd go to them and say, you know, you need to do this, and maybe you can adjust this a little bit. And he'd always say, I'm just not a techie person. I'm just not a techie person. So you try to help them to change that, and you try to get them, but because they keep saying, I'm not a techie person, they'd never change, and they'd never learn, because they've convinced themselves, I can't learn this, I'm not a techie person. Kind of like you say sometimes, I'm not a computer person. Well, then you don't learn. Well, that's different. Now, if you don't want to, that's different, you know, but don't say you can't. You can learn anything. So after a while, we had to remove them from that position, and then they get upset because you removed them from that position, but they set the course by the words of their mouth. I'm not a techie person. They'd say it, and therefore we went down that road. What do we say to these things? You know, do I look at a computer and say, you piece of junk, you know? And it's amazing how it turns into that. Amen. Okay. Go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 and 34. Matthew 12, 33 and 34. It says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. So when our mouth speaks, it's our heart speaking, okay? Now look at the Amplified Bible, the last part of verse 34. Just look at verse 34 in the Amplified Bible. The last part says, for out of the fullness, the overflow, the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, it's kind of like you have a glass of water, and the water gets so full, then it just overflows. Well, what overflows from the glass? Whatever was in the glass is overflowing. And it's the same thing with our heart. Our heart gets filled up. And you ever, sometimes you hold stuff in, but then all of a sudden, boom, the volcano just lets go. Well, what got let go out of your mouth? What was filling up your heart till it got so much it overflowed, you couldn't contain it anymore? In a good way or in a bad way? Either way, it works the same. It's a principle of life. Out of the fullness, the overflow, and the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now look at the Message translation of verse 34. He says, it's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. So in other words, you could say they're all the right words without the right heart, and they're just empty words. But the heart is what gives meaning to the words. So when your heart and your words are connected, it's going to produce. Isn't that right? Amen. You know, there's sometimes I do something just dumb and I think to myself, you're a stupid idiot. But I don't really mean that. It's just words, not connected to my heart. The WISH translation says, out of that which fills the heart, the mouth is accustomed to speak. So in other words, the habit of the mouth is connected to the fullness that's in the heart. So this is not just like a one-time thing. All of a sudden I get filled and then I speak out. No, we speak out all the time what's in our heart. The habit of the mouth is connected to the fullness of the heart, because that which fills the heart, the mouth is accustomed to speaking. Amen. So, just as an example, suppose pain hits our body and the devil says, what is that? And then you say, gee, what is that? And then you start to wonder. pretty soon names of different kind of issues start to come up and start running through our mind. So then we start going down the checklist of what this could be. Then we start mentioning things. We start to talk about things. We name things. Well, it could be a muscle ache. It could be joints acting up. It could be an internal organ that's given me this pain. Maybe my nerves are pinched or my nerves are whatever. And we start saying how we feel. And we start to say what we feel. And then we start to say what we think it might be. And then, of course, you know, you've got your friendly internet that just lets you go on there and look at all the diagnosis, the symptoms, and anything it could be from your mama to your whoever, you know, and then you go down your whole history and all this other kind of stuff just to help you to believe what that thing is. And then you say things like, well, I don't really believe it's an internal problem. I think it's just maybe a stomach virus. Okay. Well, that's not too bad. If it's just a stomach virus, I can live with that. And then you run down to the drugstore to get what you need so you can live with the thing you just called to yourself. Well, I didn't call it to myself. I had it. No, you didn't have it. And that's your problem. You don't know the difference between something coming at you and something that is you. There's a major difference. So right at the first question, what is that? That's your point of choice and decision. Right there, first question, what is that? That's your point of choice, and that's the decision you're going to make. What will I say to this thing? Do I say what I feel? Well, we just went down that whole road. Do I say what I hear? Do I say what I see? What is that? It's a very plain answer, and it's always the same. It's the ding-dang curse. That's what it is. This is not hard. See, but when you get all wrapped up in the little pretty packages that the devil wants to wrap up for you and look at all the bows and call it all these different things, when you open up the box, the same crap is on the inside. It's called the curse. And if you'd realize that from the beginning, you'd stop looking at the ribbons. Amen. So, what do we say to these things? Well, if the answer is, it's the curse, then what do I say to these things? I'm redeemed from the curse. I'm redeemed from these things. Jesus bore away my sicknesses and my diseases and my pain. The benefits of God is that he forgives all my iniquities, heals all of my infirmities. He sent his word to heal me and deliver me from my destructions. And I curse this thing in the name of Jesus and command you to go. Well, what if it don't go? Well, you can either keep at it or you could keep quitting, one or the other. Choose ye this day. You're going to keep at it or you're going to keep quitting and never get ahead. Because you're going to go around the same mountain over and over and over again until you finally get it. Amen. This is called the cycle of life. This is why people feel like they go in circles. Because they never get through the issue. Same circle, same mountain, same path, same over and over. When will I get through this? As soon as you deal with it. Well, what's the determination of whether you're going to keep at it or you're going to keep quitting? The determination is whether you believe or not. If you believe, you're going to keep at it. Huh? Well, I did believe, but it didn't work. Well, then get back to it. Because your believing brought you to a certain point, and then you quit. So get back to it so you can believe a little further. Maybe you have one day faith right now. After one day, some people have a, you know, 15-minute faith. After 15 minutes, it's like, this is enough. I need to do something. Some people have a half-hour faith, one-hour faith, one-day faith, two-day faith, one-week faith, wherever you might be at. Some people have a four-month faith. Some people have a five-year faith, and after 5 years, they're done. Well, you know, after 5 years, something should have happened. Yeah, probably. Something should have happened. Hopefully, something did happen along those 5 years. But it all depends on what it is, what you're dealing with. And it's all about developing in faith. Thank God you're still breathing after 5 years and you can still deal with it. Are you with me? We walk by faith and not by sight. So I speak to this thing. I demand in the name of Jesus it go. It's the curse. I'm redeemed from the curse. I declare it in Jesus' name. But then comes the rationalization. We start rationalizing. But I don't feel healed. And you know, I just walk by the mirror. Dear God, I don't look healed. Isn't that right? Something's affecting my voice. I don't sound healed. My stomach feels like it's bulging. It's getting pretty sore, you know. And then you go tell your spouse, or you tell your coworker, or you go tell somebody in the church, my body sure is acting up. I don't feel good. I don't know what's wrong with me. And then our imitation medical friends want to help us out. And they want to hear everything that you're dealing with. What's the symptoms you're dealing with? Because now they want to find out and see if they've dealt with the same thing so they can tell you what it is you're dealing with because that's what they dealt with. And then you say, well, no wonder I feel so bad with an issue like that. That's why I feel so bad. And what's happened? The physical has won out over the Word of God. The minute you declared it, you went and told somebody your issue and took on their explanation of what you had. Right at that moment, the physical won out over the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go tell your spouse. But you go tell your spouse, your friend, or your pastor for the purpose of prayer, not complaining and whining. You don't need nobody around to complain and whine to. You do that enough to yourself. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. So you don't need to go to your spouse to whine unless you want sympathy. And you'll never get healed wanting sympathy because healed people don't get sympathy. Are you with me? So, you know, and there's nothing wrong with talking to your spouse. I don't know if you realize this, but your spouse should be your main counselor. You know, the Bible says that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Well, your number one counselor should be your spouse. That's the one you should counsel back and forth with because you're in covenant with each other. You ought to be able to pray and hear the same thing and get from God what it is that you need. Isn't that right?
Yes.
You don't just go around talking to anybody about your stuff. You know, and I know I've shared this with you before, but years ago, you know, Fred Price, the big faith preacher, you know, in Los Angeles, the big mega church, always preached faith, wrote great books about faith, and believed in walking in faith. And when his wife Betty came down with cancer, 5 people in the whole church knew about it. Nobody else knew about it. You know why? Because those people had killed her with the words. They're only going to let 5 people know about it that can believe, stand together with them. And Betty outlived Fred. Yeah. Same thing with John Osteen. Dodie, his wife, you know, she got sick. And, you know, the devil started telling him, you're not going to have any more wife. You know, your kids aren't going to have a mother. You know, a life's going to be cut short. And he'd have to, you know, stand and believe God and all that. And she was believing God. And she'd get up like 4 hours early every day, get into the Word 4 hours every day and continue in the Word. And got healed of the cancer that at that time said there was no cure for it. And she still does the same thing today because you don't quit. You maintain. And then John, of course, went home to the Lord before she did. She's still going. Are you with me? So you don't just go tell anybody about what's going on with you. Because the one that you tell should be the one that is able to pray in faith and pray by faith, not pray in the faith. It's not because they believe in Jesus that you're going to get well. It's not because they believe in Jesus that you're going to be healed. But they have to believe what the Word of God says about Jesus. You know, I believe that we have a president in this country. You may not believe anything they say. And there's a lot of people that believe in Jesus, but they just don't believe anything he says. Or they don't know anything he says. They're ignorant of what he says. Well, you can't go to those people and ask them to stand in faith with you. Because you need faith for healing, not faith to be saved. Are you with me? And dear God, stay off of social media. Have you ever been on social media and seen these people come on social media and say, oh, I got this problem going on, just pray. I'm thinking, dear God, what is wrong with you people? You've just opened the door to major unbelief around the world. You know, I used to go to National Day of Prayer and go down to the courthouse and pray on the National Day of Prayer. And after a while, I had enough of this. I can't take all this unbelief. I'm like, dear Lord, I can't believe you people are praying like this. Are you with me? Faith releases the power of God into the situation. Standing in agreement with the Word of God. You don't want somebody praying with you and going, yeah, let's pray. And then they go, oh, I sure hope God will do something here. You don't need that. Come on. Faith is about expectation. Expectation. Hope is expectation. Bible hope is expectation. Not wishing upon a falling star, hoping something's going to happen. It's an expectation. Faith is the substance of your expectation. That's what gives substance to your expectation, faith. Amen. Are you with me? Are you still with me? Are you staying with me? Okay. The word of faith from a heart of faith is what releases the power of God. You know, I had somebody come to me one time. They said, well, so-and-so, you know, and they didn't use the word believing, but they had prayed about something, and it really happened for them. And they said, so what do you think about that? And they said, they didn't learn faith. They don't learn faith the way we learn faith. And I'm thinking to myself, honey, you don't even know what faith is. Just because they didn't learn faith like we learned faith, that doesn't mean they didn't have faith. Right. It's just that they happen to fall upon it without knowing it. Yeah. They just kind of fell into it. We're not trying to tell you about, you know, like this, you know, line upon line, or this is the way you do it, and it's a regiment and a ritual. No, we're opening doors to you so that you don't have to work off of a 90% failure rate and a 10% success. We're trying to move your success rates up. Are you with me? So I'm thinking, you know, here you are, a faith, so-called faith person, and you don't even recognize faith. And you want to tell me that because they prayed and things worked for them, but it wasn't according to the way we teach faith. Why did that work for them? Because it's faith. And you don't even recognize it. Yeah, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. I mean, when they told me the account, I knew right away, well, that's faith. But they didn't know it. They didn't recognize it. You know why? Because they knew doctrine. They didn't have a lifestyle. If you have a lifestyle, it's very obvious. Faith is very obvious. Just as the deeds of the flesh are evident, so the deeds of the Spirit are evident. Out of the heart, our tongue, which is the highest authority in our body, it is the rudder and the controlling factor that sets the course of our life. When we say things like, I guess I've got whatever, okay? At that point, you have declared out of the highest authority of your body and declared what you have and what you took. And therefore, everything that God's put within your body to resist that thing has now ceased working. You stopped it. God made your body to resist. It's called immunity, immune system. It's an immune system. He's put it within us. He's put DNA within us. He's put all this stuff within us to stand against anything that hell could throw against your physical body. But the devil changed the way we talked and got us to accept things into our life. And when we accept these things into our life, it shuts down what God put into your body to resist it. Amen. You say, some people say, well, if you don't admit to it, then you're lying. Well, I'd rather be a living liar than a dead truth teller. Are you with me? Amen. And when the things within you, listen, when the things within you that God put within you, when it stops working, you indeed have problematic health issues now. It's the same with the flu. It's the same with the virus. It's the same with the sore throat. It's the same with a lack of finances. The same with problems in the home. It's the same with anxiety. The process is always the same. The tongue, out of the abundance of our heart, will set the course. Amen. Amen. You know, and Pastor Nitt has even shared this with you too, that, you know, when we first got saved, we had major problems within our marriage. And she would start confessing the word about me, and I'd start confessing the word about her. Now, I didn't get in her face and tell her, well, this is what the Bible says. And she didn't do that to me. We just got along with God. She started to pray and confess the word of God over me about the kind of husband that I should be. And I would be confessing what the word of God said about her and the kind of wife that she should be. A Bathsheba kind of wife. She did write The Virtuous Woman, you know. So, over a period of time, of course, it didn't happen overnight, but little by little, changes came about. Why? We were setting the path with our mouth. We were speaking to those things. Amen. Amen. Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. The bottom line is, what do you say? What do you say? Prayer is not a rabbit's foot. It's not an incantation. We don't end the incantation with the cap of all caps. In Jesus' name. You know? No, it's not an incantation. It's not a rabbit's foot. It's about setting your rudder, setting the rudder of your life. Look at verse 3 through 8. It says, and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distress. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Hallelujah. You know, after prayer, do we give thanks to God? Do we thank him for all that he has done? Or do we just worry about what's in front of us? You ought to thank God for what's in front of you. Because you could be dead. and there's nothing in front of you. Well, not, you know, not in this life, but I mean, not that seeing Jesus would be a bad thing. You know, but you understand what I'm saying. Okay? So it's not worrying about what's in front of you. And why do you worry about what's in front of you if you just prayed about it? If you prayed about it, there's no worry anymore. Why? Because faith has expectation. Do you thank God that he heard your prayer? This is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we pray, we know we have the request that we've asked. So therefore, that's confident faith. So he's heard our prayer. I believe he's heard me, though. Therefore, I have to believe I have what I prayed. So therefore, I thank him for it. And what am I doing worrying about it? You don't pray and then you're wringing your hands hoping things are going to change and things are going to work out. I hope God comes through. Maybe we need to pray again. Let's get on the phone. Let's call some more people. We need to pray some more. Let's get out there on social media and let everybody know so the whole world can doubt what we're praying. And what we do is we've set our rudder, but it's turning our ship in circles and we don't go anyplace. Just going in circles and circles and circles, and we never get ahead. We never advance in the situation. Keep coming back to that. Oh, let's pray again. Well, you did pray. Did you not believe when you prayed? Well, I just haven't seen. Oh, okay, so we're moving out of faith and back over into what we see. So now you're in works and you're not in faith. So now you think your works is going to change things when you were in faith and you think that isn't going to change things. Works certainly isn't going to change anything. Right? Yep. Symptoms come to every single one of us. We deal with stuff, don't we? Yep. And when those symptoms come, it's just a form of pressure that comes on us. But Satan can't put anything on you without your consent.
That's right.
There's a big difference between something coming and pushing at you, pushing at you, pushing at you. Okay? Big difference between that, or if I'm going to jump on top of Bobby, he's not going to like that. But you understand what I'm saying, you know? And if he sees I'm going to jump, I bet he's going to do something that I don't jump. I'm just assuming. You know? But this is what happens. Symptoms come, you know, and they push, yeah, and they push, and they push, but they can't get on you unless you let them. Without your consent, they can't get on you. Well, there's going to be a tussle. Isn't that right? So the pressure makes you feel like something's on you. It's not on you. It's coming at you. Are you going to go back to your feelings and go, well, this is on me now? Well, now you're back to your feelings and you've accepted it. Do we live by sight or do we live by faith? It's very dangerous to be led by our senses. You were never designed to be led by your senses. It's a dangerous position to be in when your senses and your emotions and your feelings want to lead you. Dangerous place. Opens the door to the enemy. Sets us on the wrong course and down the wrong path. And then when we're on that wrong path and our ship's going in the wrong direction, we wind up going over the side of the waterfall. And that ain't happy. And everything comes crashing down. Amen. Selah. James chapter 1. Verse 21. James 1:21. The second half of this verse. It says, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. We have to learn to receive the word of God to ourselves and have it planted in us. Do you know what really stops the word from getting planted in us? Rationalizing. Trying to rationalize it, figure it out. Oh, what does this mean? Let me see if I can figure this out. Your brain can't figure it out. The natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. Your mind don't have the capacity to understand. You have to receive it within yourself. You know, I've been talking to somebody for quite a while, and you can tell by talking to them, they're just rationalizing, intellectualizing, trying to figure, trying to work, trying to get all the, this, you know, instead of just sitting and just receive it. Just receive it. Just receive that. You know, when I first got saved, I was probably in the church maybe 3 weeks, knew nothing. I mean, I came in off the street. I knew nothing about God, except that you spelled his name G-O-D. That's really all that I knew, you know. And I was told as a kid about a Jesus, but didn't know anything about him, knew nothing about salvation. I mean, nothing. I didn't even know what John 3:16 said. And I'm sitting in church, and the assistant pastor was doing a teaching about the children of Israel leaving Egypt, and they came to the Red Sea. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me?" Now, that really jogged me when I heard that. Why are you crying out to me? In other words, Moses, I gave you a staff. I gave you this staff with my power that you could use. So stretch it out over the water and divide the sea. Do you know how that worked? I heard that and I'm thinking, what? I mean, all I knew about what I heard about prayer from people was you cry. You cry to God. I mean, you watch them on TV. They're all crying to God. We're all hoping something's going to happen. And then when it don't happen, it's like, well, I guess it wasn't God's will for it to happen. You know, and it's everybody's just crying out to God. Nothing's working. And then God says to Moses, "Why are you crying to me?" I'm like, huh? I didn't understand that. And then he says, "Stretch out your staff and divide the sea." I'm thinking, what? This is beyond my thinking here. But you know what? I received that. I had no idea what that meant or how that worked or anything, but I received it. I said, okay, that's what the word says. It's right there in the Bible. See, I knew absolutely nothing about anything when it came to the things of God. Nothing. So doubting wasn't really number one on my list. Because I was just a total unbeliever. And then when I got saved, I became a believer. If it's in the Bible, I'm going to believe it. And there it was in the Bible. Why are you crying to me? Stretch out the staff and divide the sea and have the people go across on dry ground. Huh. Okay. Okay. And I didn't run home, find myself a stick and hold it over the pool and try to divide the pool, you know. Hither and thither, one side to the other, pool divide. No, I didn't try that. In fact, I've never had an account to where, or an event to where I needed to even use that. But it's a matter of receiving what the word says. You just receive what the word says. You don't get it up in here and trying to figure it all out. Just get it right into your heart. Bypass that head. That head is more trouble than you know. The only time your head is any good is when out of your spirit you teach your mind. The word has to be implanted on the inside of us because the word is able. See, the word is able. It has the inherent ability in that word to do and perform what it was sent to do. All I have to do is receive that word and get it planted inside of it, which is what the parable of the sower is all about. There's one that heard the word, but then it got stolen away. Another one heard the word, he received it with joy, but then afflictions came and he stole it away. And then there's another one that heard the word, it started working. Oh, but then he started going over into the desire of other things, the deceitfulness of riches. Oh, and the word got stolen away again. But then there was the one that on good soil, that word got planted into that good soil and it bore fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. It's got to get implanted. It's from the minute that you hear the word till it gets implanted to you, the devil is out to steal that word from you. And the number one thing he does to steal it away from you is rationalization. Amen. It is not merely a word of study that brings intellectual stimulation, but it's a word of revelation that changes our life. The word implanted or engrafted within us, it gives the idea that an incision is required for grafting. An incision is required. You know, when I got hurt in the fire, before I got saved, I think it was back in 78, and I got hurt in a fire pretty bad. I was in the hospital for about a month. And as an auto mechanic, you know, I wound up with third-degree burns in my hands, and I couldn't close my hands any more than this. Well, it's hard to hold a wrench, and it's hard to do any work when you can't close your hands. So they took some skin off of my thigh. They knocked me out first. They took some skin off of my thigh, and they had to graft it into my hand in several different places on both of my hands so that I can then squeeze my hands all the way. And I had to work for about a month with those latex gloves on. You know what it's like using latex gloves in an auto repair shop when it's hot and trying to work? And so every 15 minutes, I got to rip them off, dry my hands off, put the gloves back on again, and go back to work. So they had to peel skin off in order to put skin on. And that's the idea of engrafting, a peeling off in order to graft in. A lot of times that word don't get engrafted in us because we're not willing to peel off what needs to be peeled off. Our feelings, our senses, they rise up to speak to us. And you got to make a decision to peel it off so that the word can get grafted into that situation. Another thing Jesus said, the traditions of men make of no effect the word of God. You got to peel it off in order to engraft it in. Realize that the information that comes from our senses is contrary to the truth of the word of God. Receive the implanted word in your situation. Don't receive the contrary information. Amen. Peel off the contrary and implant the truth. Remember, the minute you said, what is that? That's the point of choice and decision that you have to make. James chapter 4, verse 7. It says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God, resist the devil. Because submitting is resisting. Submitting is resisting. You don't have to stand up there and go 10 rounds and try to fight with the devil. And, you know, no, submit to God. That is resisting the devil. It is simple to resist the devil once you're programmed by the word of God. Once you get the word of God in you, it's easy to resist the devil. It is not hard. The devil wants you to think that he's tougher, bigger, and badder than you know. But he is no match for the word of God. Now, without the word of God, it would be in a heartbeat. But he's no match for the word of God. Isn't that right? Once you get programmed by the word, you can resist the devil. God and his word are one. They're same. They're equal. When I'm talking about the word of God, I'm talking about speaking the word into the situation. That's releasing God into the situation. God and his word are one. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 9. Matthew 8, 5 through 9. You know the account of the centurion. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. we have to allow the Word of God to be final authority in our life, letting our words rise up to the level of God's Word. Amen. And it doesn't mean, I don't mean just like in a situation where there's a problem or an issue that comes up. Everyday life, your words should come up to the level of God's words. Don't get quiet on me now. The centurion understood authority because he was under authority. He said, I say to this one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes. Why? Because there's somebody over him that tells him to go, and he goes, and another one over him that says, come, and he comes. So therefore, he knows how authority works. He's under authority, and he goes, and he comes, and he also has authority of those over under him, and he tells them to go and to come. Isn't that right? So he understood authority. From this position that he walked in, authority. You know, and there's a lot of people say, well, I'm under God's authority. No, you're not. Not if you resist man's authority. You're not under God's authority. God told you that you are submitted to the authorities. Whether it's in a church, whether it's in civil situations, you are under authority. Amen. It goes right along with the, how can you say you love man that you can see? If you don't, how can you say you love God who you can't see if you don't love man who you do see? How can you say you're under God's authority who you don't see and you're not under man's authority whom you do see? Amen. Hallelujah. Don't shout me down. The centurion understood the authority of God's word. He knew that if the word of Jesus went, it was the same as Jesus going. No difference. Just send your word, because that's the same as you going. It's the authority of the word of God. Centurion understood authority. A lot of Christians don't understand authority because they want to be like a free agent. They don't want to be under authority. Therefore, they don't operate in authority. They think they do, but they don't. Amen. Rise to that level of believing. One of the best things I did for 8 years before pastoring, 8 or 9 years before pastoring, the best thing I did was be involved in church and be under authority and be told to go and to come and to do this and do that. The word has been spoken. I believe it, and I receive it. Now, body, feelings, you line up with the Word of God. I will not let go of the Word of God, therefore you must let go of me. Because as long as you want to hang around, you're going to hear the Word. Reminds me of the account of Jerry Seville and something that he was dealing with, and the devil would not let him go. So he got on a plane, and he flew out to Tulsa, and he got himself a hotel room. And the window to the hotel room was looking out at Oral Roberts Prayer Tower. And he pulled up a chair, and he sat there, and he pulled up two chairs. He said, devil, that chair's for you. And he said, now, you see that prayer tower? And I'm going to start telling you about it. He says, hey, don't leave. I'm talking to you about the things of God here. You know. And he just kept on and kept on. The devil don't want to stick around. He don't want to hear the word. He's come to steal the word, and when he sees you won't let go of it, he's going to go find somebody else. That's right. Amen. I will not let go of the word, therefore you must let go of me. Yes. There's no choice here. I will be like the widow with the unrighteous judge. I will persist until you give up. The word carries authority. And faith in my heart is what releases that authority. The devil is like a criminal. I don't know if you understand this about criminals. You could take all the guns away from legal citizens, law-abiding citizens, and it doesn't affect the criminals. I don't know if you understand this. Criminals still get guns. If getting guns off the street is going to change the gun factor, why don't we try this with cocaine? take all the cocaine away from all the law-abiding citizens, and let's see if it gets off the street. Stupid. Well, it's not stupid. It's a hidden agenda, so just don't fall for their nonsense. Where was I? Oh, I got on that. What was it? I don't know. Better leave. That's right. Oh, that's what it was. It was he's a criminal. And he doesn't want to, just because you said something, okay, I'll give up. You know? I mean, you see what's going on in the news. You know, just because there's a Durham report that came out, you think the criminals are going to lay down and go, you got me? No. They're going to fight tooth and nail till the end, which we hope is right around the corner. But they're going to fight tooth and nail till the end because they're criminals. It's a criminal syndicate. Yeah. And they're in the government. Well, it is subject to change because there is one group that is not subject to the criminal activity of the government, and it's the military. So, the devil is a criminal, and you have to enforce the law. Now, I know you weren't around during Abraham Lincoln's day, but you were there. Amazing. You look so good. But when he declared that all slaves would be free, do you think the owners went, oh, well, got to let them go. Here's a bus ticket. Hope you make it. Do you think they were just going to let them go? No. I bet some of them would rather kill those slaves than let them go. So just because there's a law passed, it doesn't mean it's going to be listened to and obeyed. You got to enforce it. You got to make it happen. And the way you do that is by submitting to God. Resist the devil. The word of God is final authority. I will not back off. I will not quit. I will not give up. I'll continue to say to these things. I'll continue to speak to these things. And I will not let go, so you're going to have to let go. Because one of us is going to give up, and it ain't going to be me. And you got to make that decision. Jesus bore my sin. He bore my sicknesses. He bore all of the curse. I will not allow sin to reign in my life. I will not give sin access into my life. I will not allow sickness to reign in my life. I will not give sickness access into my life. I give no place to the curse. Not lack, not anxiety, not fear, not worry, not pain, not sorrow, not disease, not infirmity of any sort. Anything that hell has to offer me is part of the curse, and I will not take it. Right. Yep. Are you with me? Amen. You have a tongue, and death and life is in the power of it. Death and life is in the power, not in the power of the tongue, but death and life is in the power of my tongue. And that's what you need to declare. Death and life is in the power of my tongue. Therefore, I choose to speak miracles. I choose to speak the power of God. I speak what the Word of God says. I let the Word of God fill up in my heart so where that's what comes pouring out of me. Faith fills my heart. I even lay hands on myself and declare healing over my body. Amen. I am the redeemed, and I speak my redemption because Jesus provided it and Jesus paid for it. So I tell my body, body, you might want to be sick, you might want to lay down, and you want to be pampered, but I'm not going to allow that. And I know that some of you are thinking, but I like to be pampered and lay down. You can lay down anytime you want. You don't have to lay down sick. Amen. I'm redeemed, and I say so. I can have what I say. Because I believe in my heart those things that I declare. My tongue is connected to my heart. Amen. I am the pilot of my life. I set my tongue the rudder of my ship. And I choose the destination called blessing. I will not choose the destination of curse. I'll leave the shores of the curse and I will head out to the shores of the blessing. And I let the winds of the power of God move my sails. Amen. 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 And only you can set your course. And you can choose to set it today. Start setting your course by start saying the right things. Start saying the word of God. Because only the word of God is able. You ever hear people say things like, oh, I just believe it's going to be okay. No power. There's no power in that. You know what that is? That's lazy. You need to get a hold of the word of God and start declaring what the word of God says, that you have by faith why you believe it's going to be okay. Yes. Now, the reason I say this, we had a healing ministry a number of years ago, laying hands on people. And I came to this one woman, and the Spirit of God said, ask her what she wants. So I said, you know, what is it that you want? And she said, well, I want healing. And I said, why? Well, I need healing. I said, well, why do you believe that? Well, because I need it. Well, why do you believe that? Well, I want healing in my body. Well, why do you believe? And this went on for like 5 minutes until she finally got to the point where she said, because by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. I'm like, finally we got to something that we can agree on and pray. Because you agree on what the word of God says, not what you want. We know what you want, but what you want has to be based on the word of God. So I can come to Bobby and say, Bobby, I want you to agree with me in prayer because according to the word of God, he said he sent his word and healed me. So based on that scripture, can we agree? See, so then we can agree on, we have something to agree on. Because Jesus said, if two of you agree as touching anything on the earth, it'll be done for you by my Father. Well, do you think that Father is going to do something outside of his word? No, because without faith, it's impossible to please him, and faith is based on his word. So you got to know what his word says. You got to agree with his word, which agrees with God, and therefore God will do what you're agreeing on because it is his word. Amen. And it's only his word that has the inherent power to bring about the change that is needed. God said, stretch forth your staff and you divide that sea. God said it. I do it. God performs it.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. That's the way it works.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And like we always said, it's not about your faith, because your faith connected to nothing brings nothing. Your faith has to be connected to God to release God into your life. It's all about what he does. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So start setting your course today and start living as the redeemed. You are the redeemed. Say it with me. I am the redeemed, and I say so. I speak to these things. I speak wholeness. I speak health. I speak that I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed from the curse. Jesus bore my sin. He bore my sickness. He sent his word and healed me. I am the healed. I'm redeemed from sickness, and I say so. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, now that just takes a couple of minutes to say that, to declare those things out of your heart. You don't need 6 hours of prayer. It's just what's in your heart. Declare those things and speak them out onto the earth. Stand in faith and they'll manifest into your everyday life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We honor you, Father. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your grace. Father, I thank you for the anointing that comes on your word. That opens our eyes, gives us a clear understanding that we could see further, that we can believe further. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You said that if we could see it, we can have it. Father, I thank you for that. Thank you, Father. Your word is more than enough. Your word is more than enough. Because your word is you, Lord, and you, Lord, are more than enough. The all-sufficient one. The all-sufficient word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to come before you with our giving. Father, I thank you that we sow our seed according to your word. You said there's one that gives and yet increases all the more. And as I sow my seed today, I declare what your word says. I am the one that gives, therefore I will increase all the more. I increase all the more so that I can give all the more. Because the more that I'm blessed, the more I can be a blessing. And I can hear you, follow you, and do what you would have me to do. And be a blessing, Father, to others. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, as they are receiving the offering, I just want to share a little something with you. To let you know where things are going, we are coming to the point to where we're going to stop making CDs, just like we stopped making DVDs. Nobody uses DVDs or CDs except once in a while there's an occasional loaner that somebody might get. So we're going to move to flash drives. We're going to use them. We can take the audio off of podcast, and we'll make a flash drive as they are requested. Most CD players have the ability to play flash drives. Cars anymore have abilities to use flash drives. They're not even putting CDs in cars anymore. And there's been no interest for years in teaching series that we've kept in the bookstore. We've even put series together. We've announced them. We've gotten new books in, and we've announced them. And there's barely any interest in these things. So we're even considering closing down the bookstore altogether. So we're going to take all the teaching series that we've kept for years, and we're just going to pass them on. And we're going to move over to flash drives. And then as you need one, they can be made up for you in a moment. Okay? And we're just going to let guest speakers come in, sell their product when they come, and then we'll just move ahead from there. Amen. Okay? Yeah. Amen.